Everyone, welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen, especially those of us building our businesses from home, that we're just dabbling in between bake sales and getting our nails done, we're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life. And I'm looking forward to sharing today's guest with you. Michelle DeFilippo owns 1106 Design, a one-stop source that serves independent authors who want traditional publisher quality for their books without sacrificing their vision, rights, and royalties in return. 1106 Design offers all the services authors need without sharing a penny of the revenue from sales. Their experienced editors and designers cut through the noise and ensure a stress-free process and a standout book. I'm excited because Michelle is offering a free guide, Publish Like the Pros, a brief guide to quality self-publishing, and we will have the link for that on our show. So with all that being said, Michelle, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Well, thank you, Dori. I'm very pleased to be here and share a little bit about what I know about publishing with your listeners and hopefully help them out. That's the idea.
I love that. So I would love for you to take us on your journey that led you to creating 1106 Design.
Oh, gosh. Well, I've actually been in the publishing industry in one form or another since 1972 when I got out of school. My first job was at Crown Publishing in New York City, where I grew up. And about 7 years after that, my ex-husband and I got the bright idea to move to Phoenix. And I came to Phoenix and found out that I couldn't make more than minimum wage in Phoenix because of the economic conditions in that town at the time. And so I opened a typesetting business. That was my first venture into going into business. And that lasted for about 13 years. My claim to fame is that Steve Jobs put me and every other typesetting business out of business when he invented the Macintosh. And so it's been quite a roller coaster ride. After that, I freelanced for a number of years. And then in 2001, independent publishing was beginning to become a big thing. And I thought to myself, well, I know all about that. I know typesetting. I know design. Let's see what we can do by starting a company to serve independent authors. And that's been going ever since 2001.
Wow. So what essential services do authors need to publish a book?
Okay. The top five or six services that we most often sell to authors, we don't have packages. We work a la carte, whatever the author wants and whatever the project demands. But the main services are editing, cover design, interior design and layout, proofreading, and then ebook formatting. And so those are the core services that you need to produce a market quality book. And the way we're different from some others is that publishers generally will provide those services to authors. And authors' first thought is to go find a publisher when they finish their manuscript. But my message is that you really don't need a publisher. You can buy all of these services that you need to produce a book and publish it in your own name and keep all of the revenue from sales instead of sharing it with someone else. That's our message.
What do you feel is the most crucial decision an author needs to make when they decide to self-publish?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt, the choice of who they're going to get their help from, who they're going to work with. The marketplace now is very crowded with all kinds of options, and not all of the options are beneficial to authors. You'll hear people promoting the down and dirty way, for lack of a better word, the down and dirty way to produce a book, but it doesn't produce a good book. You know, producing a good book takes many, many hours, over 100 hours when you add it all up, including the customer service. And so if you run into somebody who's going to work for a couple of $100s or even a few $1,000s, you're probably not getting the level of service that you need. And so where we operate is at the traditional publisher level. We do a book the way it would be produced for you by a traditional publisher. We don't cut corners.
Do you do publicity? Do you help them with that? Once you have a book, what do you do with it?
Well, most of the time, marketing is the responsibility of the author, regardless of who they work with. We don't have marketing expertise in-house, but what I do is I recommend three people that I would trust with my life to my authors, and then they can interview each one of them and see who's a good fit. And all of these people offer different marketing programs at different price points so that they can find the fit that's right for them in terms of book marketing.
So if you go traditional, what kind of cost is it to produce if you find one of those big publishing houses to produce your book?
Well, there's basically three models of publishing. Traditional publishing, which is what we most think of when we think of publishing a book. The traditional model is still and always has been the situation where the author pays nothing. The publisher carries all the costs to hire the editors and the designers and the proofreaders and so forth. The publisher makes that investment in the book. And so when a book is sold, a publisher takes back the lion's share of the revenue from sales in order to recoup that investment. That's a perfectly legitimate business model, right? The person who makes the investment should reap the major part of the profit when they're producing is sold. That's the traditional model. Now, self-publishing, as it was originally intended, meant that the author was the publisher. And as such, the author would make the investment in all the services needed, and the author would keep 100% of the profits when the book is sold. In the last 20, 25 years or so, a bunch of companies have moved into the middle ground between those two points, and they call themselves self-publishing companies, hybrid publishers. Now they're dropping the adjectives altogether, and they're just calling themselves publishers. But what they do is they charge the author to produce the book, and they take revenue on the back end when the book is sold. To my way of thinking, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But if you're an author who's coming into the publishing world for the first time, you might just accept that at face value and think, oh, well, that's just the way it is. But that's not the way it should be or has to be. So what we do is traditional independent publishing as it was originally intended. We work for the author. The author pays us for our services. But then we are out of the picture in terms of taking any revenue from book sales. We do not. We get the author all set up with their own print-on-demand accounts so that when a book is sold, the revenue is deposited straight to their bank account, never to ours.
I like that. I do. But on the flip side of that, when somebody is just starting out, because everybody's, okay, it's time for me to write a book. I love that you are offering this brief guide to quality self-publishing. What are some of the tips that you give them? Because in the second part of this, I want to go into what they need about editing and cover design and all the rest of that. But right now in this part, this is easing them in. So what are those little quality things that they need to know about self-publishing?
Well, the booklet, Published Like the Pros, is a very quick read. It's only 88 pages, and I offer it for free to anyone who wants to put in their email address at my website, 1106design.com. I want people to be educated about how the process should go. And so basically, there's a chapter for all of the major services that authors need when they want to publish a book. And then I go into a little bit about the publishing models, like I just talked about. And basically, I want to give authors the tools to make the choice that is right for them, right? Everybody's different. I want them to be armed with information so that they don't get hooked in with a sales pitch that's not to their benefit.
As people, again, you know, so many people I know that, you know, here on the show, I share authors all the time in our Authors Alley, self-published, traditional publishing, boutique publishing, all in between. And I've had a couple of people, I said, you know what? I'm not going to bring you on yet because this is not finished. You know, I was like, would you mind if I send you back some edits, just grammatical edits and spelling edits and things like that. You know, I have a lot of respect for people who are willing to do this on their own, but you can't rely on the computer to catch your errors, to catch grammatical errors and things like that. How do you work with people to get them to understand how critical editing is?
Well, the most disturbing thing to me in today's marketplace is that there are, to my way of thinking, a professional should educate the customer and provide the highest level of service, whether or not the customer is aware of what that level should be. But now we have lots of people in the marketplace that are offering a low level of service because that's all authors want to pay. But that really doesn't give them the book that they should have and the book that readers demand, right? You can put out a low-level book if you want to, put it on Amazon. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. But what happens when people buy it and they find all the typos and they find it hard to read because it wasn't well typeset? What are they going to do? They're going to leave a bad review. And then everything that you did spend on producing that book is down the drain because people see bad reviews and they go away, right, for any product or service.
I'm with you 100% on that. I'm serious. One of the authors that I said, may I send you back some edits because the guts of the story was a really good story. They had different fonts, different sizes to fit things on a page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't know, I haven't written a book yet, although people tell me all the time, you should write a book. Nobody believed my life story anyway. But I would want to put out a book that I would want to read.
Exactly. A book used to be a work of art, right? We didn't have to think about it. The major publishers always put out stellar books, top line editing, beautiful design, beautiful printing. When you bought a book, you could be confident that it was going to be well produced. Not so anymore. The very worst message in the marketplace now is that authors should do it themselves or use some kind of automated system to generate a cover and the interior pages. Well, I'll tell you why those systems exist. It's to cut down on customer service requests because authors want to produce their own files, but then they don't know how to do that. So the files fail the upload process at the printer. And then they start calling the printer and saying, my files won't upload. What do I need to do? Well, that's not the printer's job. The printer's job is to print. It's the author's job to produce those files in a way that will successfully print. They've started implementing these automated systems, and authors love it because it's free. I can dump my manuscript into this system, and something that looks sort of like a book will pop out the other end, and I won't have to spend any money. But you're not getting a properly designed and edited book when you do that.
On that note, please think of what Michelle said. All of you out there that have that book in you, just think of what she's saying here. And again, as we come back, we're going to talk about the different things you need to know. But right now, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors here in just a moment on Word of Mom Radio. She is brave. She is bold. She is you. And we want to tell your story. Are you ready to share your journey with us on Word of Mom Radio? Go to wordofmomradio.com and register as a guest. We want to tell your story because when you win, we all win.
In 2017, Unsilenced Voices was formed to help survivors of domestic abuse and gender-based violence worldwide. The organization currently serves Sierra Leone, Rwanda, Ghana, and the USA. In 2022, Unsilenced Voices gifted over $33,000 to survivors in the USA. And in Sierra Leone, there are over 26 young girls who have been rescued from sex trafficking and domestic abuse and now going through vocational training school in order to better their lives. We need your help. Donations are critical in order for us to continue our work. We also need volunteers to help with research and development. Please visit unsilencedvoices.org for more information.
Don't let the name fool you. StadiumBags.com is not just for sports fans. Our clear bags make it easier for you to get into any venue that you go to. And in today's world where we are so concerned about germs, the materials that our bags are made with are strong enough to stand up to the solvents that you can use to clean your bag so you know you come home safely. Check out StadiumBags.com. You'll see why we are the clear choice. Because safety, it's in the bag. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Michelle DiFilippo about 1106 Design and how to publish like a pro. I love that you have a free gift. I really do, because, again, so many people, there are so many stories out there. And the reality is, just because you wrote a book doesn't mean people besides your family are going to read it. So you want to give yourself, in my opinion, the leg up in knowing that what you've put out is something people are going to want to read and going to want to talk about. So in that self-publishing, in that before they even get there, let's go step by step. What do they need to know about editing?
Okay, the first thing they need to know about editing is that the worry I hear expressed most often from authors is, I don't want anybody to change my book. I spent months or years writing it. I don't want anything to change. Well, I can put their mind at ease and say, a good editor is not going to change your voice. They're not going to change your style. What they're going to do is find the things that you missed, because none of us can see our own errors when we write. What we write is perfectly clear to us because we know what we meant to say. But when someone's reading that text for the first time, they might scratch their head and say, what? I don't quite get what the author is saying here. So that is the job of the editor, to smooth out the text, to catch your mistakes, to point out redundancies, to point out places where maybe you didn't explain as much as you should have to someone who hasn't read the manuscript before, who hasn't pored over the manuscript as many times as you have. So when authors see what our editors find in their manuscript, they are just floored because they thought the manuscript was perfect. And the editor will come back with hundreds or sometimes even thousands of recommendations. And they're happy about it. They're not upset about it. They're just shocked at how many things can be improved beyond what they ever imagined. So that's the purpose of editing, to make your reader have a very good, smooth experience.
I've actually heard authors say that. I don't want people editing. I've spent all this time writing, and I don't care what somebody thinks about what I wrote. And so I'm glad you explained what an editor does. Now, what do they need to know about cover design?
Okay, cover design, there's tons of misinformation about that in the marketplace as well. When people who were trained in traditional publishing like I was approach cover design, we don't just find a picture and plop a title onto it. I actually had a woman call me once who said, I know you only spend 15 minutes on a cover. You can't fool me. Well, I suppose it is possible to spend 15 minutes on a cover, but that's not what a professional cover designer does, right? A cover designer will start with a conversation and ask you, what do you want this cover to accomplish? Not only what you want, of course the author has an opinion about what they want or what they think should go on the cover, but the cover is all about the buyer. We want to attract the buyer. What does your buyer expect to see? What information does your buyer need to know in order to stop and click through and learn more about your book? If you don't accomplish that with your cover design, you're finished. The design has to be well executed. The typography has to be right. The words have to be exactly right. And all of those things are gone into by a professional cover design.
How do you find the right person that's going to be able to take that vision and make that cover design for you?
Well, it's like anything else. Look for experience, right? If you go online and social media, you'll hear a lot of discussions about going on Fiverr and finding a cover designer. Now, I'm not saying that you won't find somebody good there, but in our experience, we get an awful lot of calls from authors who did that. And then they find out at the end of the process that that person didn't know how to make the digital files for printing. It's one thing to work on an iPad and create a front cover image. It's another thing to build the full cover with the spine, with the barcode to the proper dimensions for each printer that you're going to use, and make sure that the color you see on your screen is the color that's going to print when the book is manufactured. So I would say look for experienced cover designers who have been in the business for a long time. And most of them will have portfolio samples on their website. And any cover designer, what you should do is put up the cover designer's website in one window in your browser and put up the major publisher's book samples in another window on your browser side by side. And you will be able to see for yourself if that cover designer you're considering is working at the same level as traditional publishers. If you look at only the cover designer samples, you might think, oh, they're fine. But if you look closer sometimes, you will see that some cover designers are really doing the same cover over and over and over again with a different title and maybe a different picture, but it's the same design. And those people generally work cheaper than a professional cover designer because they're not spending the time we're spending to come up with something that's unique and well-executed and effective. That's the main word, effective.
And now to me, the big question is the interior page design. Because people just think, oh, yeah, you put it up and you know, it's going to be justified or whatever. Yeah, I'm watching you going as you're shaking your head. So what do they need to know about that?
How many days have you got? It's what I hear now, of course, most of the time is that authors believe it's okay to format the interior pages of their book in Word or Vellum or some other program that's really meant for word processing. That's not what a book typesetter does. Book typesetting, we follow dozens and dozens of rules to make the text even, beautiful, easy to read, no unsightly gaps, no distractions that are going to cause the reader to stop and lose the comprehension of what you're writing. And if you go to a bookstore, I'll give you some homework, go to a bookstore, pick up a hardcover book from a major publisher, then go home and typeset that page in Microsoft Word. And you will see the difference yourself immediately. That Word is not a typesetting system. It's a word processing system.
That is great advice. I'm serious, Michelle. I never thought of something like that because people don't realize, especially Word, you change one word and the pages that come afterwards have now reset themselves because you may have put in a break somewhere. People don't get that.
Correct. And there's, I have a whole webinar on my website if people want to look into it about all of the things that typesetters look for. You know, it's the spacing between the words. It's the spacing between the lines. It's rules like not putting the last line of a paragraph on the top of a page, not putting the first line of a paragraph on the bottom of the page, not hyphenating a word before the page has to be turned, because all of these things create a nanosecond pause when someone's reading, and that affects comprehension. And so typesetting, proper typesetting is about beauty. We try to bring some aesthetic beauty to the page, of course, but it's mostly about reading comprehension. And isn't that why you wrote a book in the first place? So that people can comprehend what you're telling them. And so that's the reason for it. And it takes a lot of time and it's very tedious, but it's worth doing.
It's interesting to me because what you just said about not hyphenating a word before the page turns or the first line of a paragraph on the bottom of a page. That was English 101 when I was in school. The things that you learned as you were writing Comp 101,
yeah.
That as you're writing a paper, as you're reviewing something, you know, all of the different things, expository writing, all of the courses that you took, that was one of the things that you just, to me, seem, well, that's common sense because that's how I was taught. But I was taught a long, long time ago where they went into all of those different grammatical things that I think have kind of, I don't know, lost their way in schools at this point.
Yeah, you can clearly see the difference between a book interior that's been word processed and one that's been properly typeset. You'll see it immediately.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean,
but you do have to compare the two. You can't just look at the one and declare that it's good.
I think it's a brilliant idea to take it and retype it, and now you'll see the difference. So as we're wrapping up, what do you want to say to that person that has that book in them?
I want to say that publishing is a very risky business. I will never promise you that you can sell books. Nobody can make that promise. Even major publishers have their failures. But what you can do is put out the very best book that you know how to produce, right? And then you've done everything in your power to give yourself the best chance of success. If you put out an amateurish book and it doesn't succeed, I hear people talking about this, in fact. They'll say, oh, I'm glad I didn't spend any money on production values because I didn't sell any books. But that's putting the cart before the horse. If you put out the best book you possibly can, now you've done everything in your power. Nobody can control the market.
That's a great way to end this. How may people reach out to you, those authors out there that want to get in touch and find out more about what you are doing, Michelle?
Okay, they can contact me through my website at 1106design.com. If your manuscript is finished, we have a contact form that allows you to tell us a little bit about yourself and your book, and we'll get back to you and we'll have a nice conversation about what services you may need and what you want to accomplish. And we'd love to have your business and take care of you. And again, like I said before, anybody who visits the website, you can download my book for free, put in your email address, and it will subscribe you to our newsletter once a month. I promise I will not subject you to email blasts after you do that. We will not spam your inbox. We just want you to have the book and have the information you need and make the best choice for you.
All of Michelle's links to 1106design.com and all of her social media will be up on Word of Mom Radio. I really encourage you, those of you out there that have your books you're working on, that have that book inside you that you're looking to get out there, take a look, get that free guide, and at least have a framework of what you need to do, and then reach out, get on the webinar, get on the newsletter, find out the different ways you can get your voice out there, because Michelle is doing great work. She really is, and maybe it's your book that'll be the next coming from 1106 Design. So, Michelle, I thank you so much for taking the time to come and share with us today on Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you, Dori. I appreciate the opportunity.
It's been my pleasure. And for all of you tuning in, thank you for being here. We're going to close out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters and the Sunday Drivers. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.